The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the teenmagazine.com. Our first article, 10 Essential Life Lessons You've Learned from Watching Marvel Movies. And this article was written by Janelle Cabalsetta. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, MCU, has a very special place in my heart. From the moment I watched my first Marvel movie or read my first Marvel comic, I knew I had found a new fandom to be a part of. Besides featuring sarcastic superhumans that dress in tight suits, these Marvel characters have taught me valuable lessons. Here are the 10 most important lessons that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has taught its audience across its 23 films and 32,000 comics. Caution! If you haven't seen Avengers Endgame, this post may contain minor spoilers. Read at your own risk. 10. Stand up for what you believe in. One of the most iconic characters in the MCU is definitely Captain America. Although he could seem like the most uncool superhero because of his lack of superpowers, his personality makes up for it. Steve Rogers always stands up for what he believes in, even when others don't agree. This was the entire theme of Captain America: Civil War. Tony and Steve both had different views on the subject of the Sokovian Accords. You, too, should always stand up for what you believe in, even if it is an unpopular opinion. Besides, it's not like you're going to start a civil war. 9. Never give up. Again, there's still more to learn from Captain America. His most iconic line is, "I can do this all day." This line shows us Cap's reluctance to back down, even when he's tired. We may never have to fight the Chitauri or Thanos and his children, but we have to fight against the urge to give up. Whether we are trying out for the school's sports team or starting a blog, it's important not to give up. We may face difficult times and challenges, but you must persevere. 8. We're better together. From the iconic and widely renowned team of the Avengers to the lesser-known Guardians of the Galaxy, all throughout the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the theme of teamwork is repeated. From the very beginning, starting with the film The Avengers, up until the very last movie, Endgame, has always been about teamwork. Imagine what the Avengers would be like if they decided they no longer needed Thor or Black Widow. Imagine if the Guardians decided they didn't need Gamora or Star-Lord. This teaches us to value our team. Whether it be a group working on a school project or your sports team, value your members. Everyone has an important role to play. That being said, make sure that everyone has a specific role in the team. The Avengers wouldn't be successful if the Hulk stayed on the sidelines. The Avengers wouldn't even be successful if it wasn't for all of them, which is exactly what Endgame showed in the epic battle scene. We don't only see one or two people, we see all of them. The Avengers, the Guardians, Captain Marvel, etc. Moral of the story, work with your team, not against them. In other words, fight like everyone in Endgame, not Civil War. 7. Friends fight sometimes. As I stated before, because both Steve and Tony disagreed with each other, they fought. This can happen to us with our friends, too. We are all different people with different values and moral standards, so we're bound to disagree sometimes. But the real value comes from learning to forgive each other. Although Tony and Steve disagreed often, they had to make up in order to save the world. It took them a while to reconcile, but they eventually did, and that's what matters. Your relationship with your friends won't affect the sake of the world, but it does affect your world. Be the bigger person and seek forgiveness. 6. The past doesn't dictate your future. We all make mistakes, including superheroes. Before Natasha became the Black Widow, she was trained as an assassin by the KGB. The blood of innocent people was in her hands, and she felt guilty. Natasha's character arc was one of my favorites because she had to learn to forgive herself and how to let other people in. You also see this manifested through Ant-Man, who has a background as a criminal. Instead of letting his past define him, Scott Lang wants to be the best version of himself for his daughter. Although we probably haven't been trained as assassins, we have all made mistakes in one way or another. We shouldn't let our mistakes define us. Yes, it's important to forgive our friends, but it's also important to forgive ourselves. 5. Lighten up. There is so much negativity in the world. It's impossible to watch Marvel movies without cracking up, though. Each character is humorous in their own ways. Tony Stark has a killer sense of humor. Thor and Loki are pretty funny too, and even Steve has his moments. In a world where it's so easy to be negative and angry, be the opposite. These heroes were always fighting some form of evil, and yet they still found moments to laugh. So take it from them and find something to laugh about. 4. Age doesn't define you. Peter Parker is a kid from Queens who's still in high school, and somehow he's just as useful as everyone else in battle. It can seem that because we are young, there is not much we can do. People may say that we're useless, but we're not. Remember that even Spider-Man found a way to prove that, even if it was at a local scale. We have a unique perspective on things because we are young and inexperienced, but we can use this to our advantage. Don't be afraid to speak up because your opinions do matter. After all, soon we are going to be the ones in charge. 3. Girls can fight too. This is one of the themes that I am most proud of. Instead of showing that only men can be superheroes, the MCU has included so many strong and powerful women. From Black Widow and Scarlet Witch to Okoye and Captain Marvel. But there are so many more. These women aren't there to just be pretty or romantic interests. They're there to fight for what they believe in, just like everyone else. You should too. Just because we are females doesn't mean we're weaker or any less powerful. We believe in things that are worth fighting for, too. 2. It's what's on the inside that counts. Yet another lesson to be learned from Steve Rogers. Before Steve was a superhero, he was just a kid from Brooklyn. Not only this, but he also had numerous health problems. Because of his situation, Steve knew humility. He wasn't always a super soldier. This also taught him compassion. Excerpt. This is why you were chosen, because the strong man who has known power all his life may lose respect for that power, but a weak man knows the value of strength and knows compassion. Abraham Erskine to Steve, Captain America, the First Avenger. We must also remember that appearances don't really matter, and neither does physical strength. It's always what's on the inside that counts. To wrap it all up here is the last but certainly not least valuable lesson. It is perhaps the most valuable lesson of all. 1. Love is powerful. My absolute favorite theme of the MCU is this one. Love isn't only about a romantic interest. Steve does love Peggy, just as Tony loves Pepper. Yes, Quill loved Gamora just as Thor loved Jane, but there are other forms of love that are just as important. There is the love that parents have for their kids. There is also the love that siblings have for each other, like the relationship Thor and Loki have, or the one Gamora and Nebula grew to have, or the love that best friends have. Love is a theme that has been scattered across the MCU. If Steve didn't love Peggy, he wouldn't have gone back in time to live his life with her. If Scott didn't love Cassie, he may not have felt a need to make sure she was alive. If Nat didn't love Clint, she would have never given up her life to spare his. We too must cultivate a selfless kind of love. There is nothing that is more powerful than love. Although the Marvel Cinematic Universe may seem like a bunch of goofballs running around dressed in costumes, there really are valuable lessons that can be learned from the characters and their stories. I love the MCU and have learned a lot from its iconic characters. Our next article, an unofficial rundown of this summer's top movies. And this article was written by Eamon Costello. Did you forget to hit the movie theaters this summer and want to catch up on all you've missed? Here's a recap of the summer's most popular films that everyone's talking about. Some of these movies are still out in theaters, while others can be found on streaming platforms and can be watched from home. This list has something for everyone, ranging from a mockumentary about a little shell to straight-up horror. This list falls in no particular order. They're all great. Nope. Jordan Peele delivers his unique range of horror with his third narrative horror/thriller, Nope. The name of the film plays off of a reaction we've all heard or exclaimed in the midst of a scary scene, demonstrating Peele's directorial self-awareness and his beginnings as a comedian. Nope centers a few citizens on the dusty outskirts of Los Angeles who work with horses in the entertainment industry. The colossal problem that haunts them comes from the sky, and they must decide whether they will face it or run. With a star-studded cast consisting of Kiki Palmer, Brandon Perea, Daniel Kaluuya, and Steven Yeun, the acting in Nope is phenomenal. As always, Peele leaves viewers frightened, both by the plot itself and the subtle commentary he makes on the problems within the entertainment industry. These people are always looking to document the next spectacle and will often risk their careers and lives to do so. Nope is for fans of science fiction and thrillers alike. The Black Phone. This new serial slasher by seasoned horror director Scott Derrickson will make you feel grateful that you weren't alive in the 70s. A terrifying antagonist called the Grabber, Ethan Hawke, terrorizes teenage boys in Wilmington, North Carolina. He uses a telephone system to mess with the kids and entice them into playing a game with them. His ultimate plan, however, is to murder them. When the Grabber makes the mistake of kidnapping one particularly clever kid, a battle of wits and instinct ensues. In the end, who lives and who dies are all connected back to the telephone. Minions, The Rise of Gru. The Despicable Me / Minions franchise has been beloved by Gen Z since 2010, and the new installment of Minions quickly became a sensation during the beginning of the summer. The new movie focuses on Gru's upbringing as a lonely child and how he channeled his energy into becoming a supervillain. Throughout the process, he realizes how crucial the Minions are to his success. Going into viewing this movie, one should expect 0% depth and 100% laughs and fun. If you're a fan of slapstick humor and childhood nostalgia, go see Minions, The Rise of Gru. Elvis. If you're looking for a fresh perspective on the Hall of Famer of the Hall of Fame rocker Elvis, this is the film for you. This is a longer film because director Baz Luhrmann wanted to cover as much detail on Elvis's busy career as possible. Elvis is one of the most visually stunning films on this list as well. The quickly moving flashes of bright lights and the lure of showbiz makes the entire experience feel like a weekend in Vegas. Additionally, Luhrmann exposes viewers to what it's like to be part of the entertainment industry, as Elvis goes through huge successes, but also extremely low ruts in his career. Not Okay. One of the funniest parts of Not Okay comes at the very beginning of the film. It is a warning to viewers that the main character is a very unlikable person. This rings true throughout the plot, but any viewer can see at least a bit of themselves in Danny. When we're lonely, we look for ways to connect with others. Nowadays, these connections can be made using social media, but Danny goes way overboard. She falsely victimizes herself after a dire situation that she had no involvement in occurs. Overnight, she becomes a famous internet activist, but it's all a lie. Danny can't help but continue to profit off of the situation, and she digs herself in a hole that is bound to cave in on her. The message that writer and director Quinn Shepard is trying to get across with Not Okay is that we must work to stop performative activism. At the end of the day, that's all it is, a pretend performance that will enact no real change. Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. In this adorable mockumentary, a filmmaker renting out a house finds Marcel, a little shell with a big personality. Marcel lives with his grandma and has created contraptions that allow him to maneuver all around the house that is his entire world. When Marcel ventures out to find the rest of his displaced shell family, he realizes that the world is so, so much larger than he could ever imagine. Marcel makes us realize how little we think about the vastness of the globe or the power that the internet holds, hitting us with hilarious quips all the while. You will walk out of the theater with a melted heart and a new perspective on the human condition. Thor, Love and Thunder. The newest Thor movie brings Marvel fans what they've wanted after countless fight scenes, sentimentality. Though he is immortal, century after century of fighting evil has sent Thor on a new quest for inner happiness. However, a new opponent named Gore the God Butcher, played by Christian Bale, quickly foils this plan. Working with Valkyrie, Tessa Thompson, and Dr. Jane Foster, Natalie Portman, the newest all-powerful beings on the screen, Thor comes out of a wishful retirement to continue his endless series of battles. Where the Crawdads Sing. Fans of YA literature are going to see Where the Crawdads Sing, the movie adaptation of author Delia Owens' coming-of-age novel. The story follows Kia, a young woman who has ended up alone in the deep marshes of North Carolina. Her first priority is to use the wilderness skills she's learned throughout her life, fishing and hunting to survive. Eventually, Kia begins to grasp for a human connection and befriends two different guys. These relationships end up in a sudden murder, and Kia is the first one that people point fingers towards. This morphs the story into an intense murder mystery. With an entire town against Kia, can she beat the allegations of a mysterious murder with minimal support? Where the Crawdads Sing is a worst-case scenario that you can't take your eyes off of. Bodies, bodies, bodies. Silence your cell phones and feast your eyes upon Bodies, 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 the newest A24 horror flick. This film plays on the ways that social media and constant access to the internet has impacted Gen Z, for better or mostly for worse. A group of social media addicted friends attend a party where a supposedly fun game goes horribly wrong when they find a dead body. Throughout the constant dark, they must find the culprit of this mysterious murder before the bodies pile up. Though this is a scary one, there is definitely a lot of pop culture and TikTok references that add to the satire of it all. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is conscious enough of itself to make it horrifying in multiple ways. The summer of 2022 has shown itself to be a great season in terms of new cinema. Whether you want a feel-good story or a covering-your-face-with-your-hands horror, whether you want to enjoy films in theaters or from the comfort of your home, there are options for you on this list. Happy viewing! And our last article, Everything You Need to Know About American Horror Story 10 Before Watching. And this article was written by Alicia Renee. Chances are, if you haven't watched American Horror Story, you've at least heard of it. However, if you haven't, or you need a recap, American Horror Story is the anthology horror television show. Over the past 10 years, we've lived in the murder house, escaped the asylum, protected the coven, attended the hotel, dreamt the Roanoke nightmare, joined a cult, survived the apocalypse, and traveled back to 1984. And now, we're experiencing an AHS double feature. Red Tide. Marking a decade of American Horror Story, this season begins with a family moving to a peculiar northeastern town, looking for a new start and new inspiration, seemingly paying homage to what started it all. In true American Horror Story fashion, soon after the family moves in, things take an unsettling turn. There are most definitely some murder house vibes stemming from what we've seen of Red Tide, while still seeming to be a completely original take. Red Tide was filmed in Cape Cod, and members of the Provincetown community have speculated this part of the season will center around local legend of the Black Flash. This folklore of a figure cloaked in black with large silver ears, glowing blue eyes, and the ability to jump like no human could came to be around the autumn of 1939. Excerpt. The police apparently chuckled after taking the first statement, but over the next week, several more residents reported being scared to death when this tall, beastly banshee appeared out of nowhere right in front of them. The Black Fish, The Legend Continues, by Steve DeRoches. Death Valley. The second storyline will begin about halfway through the season. The two parts of AHS double feature have described season 10 as one by land, two by sea, judging by all that we know from part one and images in the official trailer. Death Valley will be taking place in the desert. This part of the season also leans more into science fiction than we've seen in the past years. With the presence of aliens. However, this is not the first time Murphy has explored the possibility of extraterrestrial life. Fans will remember in Season 2, Asylum, the interactions between space beings and Kit Walker, Evan Peters, although we are unsure if the two will have any connection. Aside from speculation, the majority of the plot for Death Valley remains a mystery. However, more information is expected as we lead up to this storyline. Double feature cast. A few days ago, the official cast list for AHS 10 came out, and much to fans' excitement, we are seeing many anticipated returns. Fans were happy to hear that American Horror Story regulars Sarah Paulson, Lana Winters, Cordelia Good, Sally, etc., and Evan Peters, Tate Langdon, Kyle Spencer, March, etc., are returning to the scene after sitting out of 1984. Also returning this year is Lily Rabe, playing her first AHS main role. In years past, we've seen her as supporting characters such as Misty Day, Sister Mary Eunice, and, of course, her debuting role of Nora Montgomery. Other returnees include Kathy Bates, Leslie Grossman, Adina Porter, Angelica Ross, Finn Whitrock, as well as Frances Conroy. And, of course, Billy Lord, who we just saw dominate the screen in Episode 5, Baal, of American Horror Stories, the new HS anthology spinoff. As of yet, we've heard no word of Jessica Lange returning for another season, but as always, fingers crossed for our fabulous Supreme. New members to the American Horror Story family include Macaulay Culkin and Ryan Kira Armstrong, and others that are new to the series, but not to the AHS universe, such as Kaya Gerber, who recently starred as Ruby in Rubber Woman Part 1 and 2, and Game Over. Final takeaways. If you're like me, you are beyond excited to finally be getting more American Horror Story. So far, this newest season seems incredibly promising. I can't wait to see how the two storylines fit together. As Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk keep getting more and more creatively twisted and keep putting out complex and horrifying seasons, I will happily forever be an avid AHS stan. New episodes of American Horror Story will premiere every Wednesday at 10 p.m. EST and 7 p.m. PST on FX and stream the following day on Hulu. Wednesday. That reminds me, always remember, on Wednesdays, we wear black. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.